All right, Trouble Say, good morning. Let us begin. We're going to begin by thanking our sponsors, to thank Steve and Terry Zinn for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month in memory of their parents, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yosef HaKoin, Yentl Mindel Bas David HaLevi, Bunim Tzvi ben Chaim, and Devora Bas Yisrael Yoel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamos have an Aliyah and the families in the Chama. And I will say, an incredible amount to do today. Baruch Hashem, a lot of ground to cover, but dramatically amazing Gemara. Today's daf is Nun Dalet 54. We are picking up on Nun Gimel Amud Beis 53b, pretty much in the middle of the page. Rabbi Avo. It is in the wide lines, 2, 4, 6, 8. 10 lines down in the wide lines in the Gimel Amud Beis. Rabbi Avo, Kav Mishtai B'Lashon Chachmas. Also, Rabbi Avo would use what the Gemara calls Lashon Chachmas. Remember again, as was pointed out yesterday, I forgot who said it to me after the shir, but interestingly enough, the Gemara is using Lashon Chachma over here to mean nuance. Yet, interestingly enough, Bnei Yehuda were extolled on Amud Aleph, ultimately again for using precise Lashon. Nuance is not precise. So which one is it? Is nuance better? Is precision better? And the answer, of course, is yes. Right? That different things are required for different times. Sometimes the realm of learning, so specificity is what is desired most. Yet sometimes when it comes to other matters of life, nuance is a bit more palatable, like we saw with the maidservant of Rebbe. So the Gemara says over here as follows, Rabbi Avo keva mishtai b'lashon chachma. When Rabbi Avo would use nuance lashon, amar hachi, he would say as follows. So this is interesting. He would say, Asrigu lepechamin, arkiu lezahavin, va'asuni shnei megidi balato. So let's say, if you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, Asrigu lepechamin. So we'll say literally, as Mashi pointed out to me yesterday before at the end of the shir, in Yare Diyom, Asrigu lepechamin means literally make the coals like an esrog. Make the calls like an asterisk. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Asrigu lepechamin akola zahavin. Haviros habechamin lios adumin ke esrog. So this is interesting. He would say, fire up the coals, make them as red hot as an esrog. Okay, I guess that there are different variations in the esrog family. Sheishtachu gichalam halochashos api akir lischan kinegdan. So go ahead and literally make the esrogim red so that I can warm up against them by the stove. Rashi says, Arkiu shtuchu kama arkiya lizahavin. So ultimately, again, spread out the zahavin, the golden ones. Also a reference to the hot coals. So that ultimately, again, they should be like markers in the night. All right. Ikeda amri viyasuli bahen shnei megidi balata. Others say, no. What it means is that he was saying, make for them on me, two indicators of the night. So the indicators over here are referenced to roosters. Roosters signal the end of the night. So he was telling them to roast for him two roosters on the coals. Again, Rabosai, it's interesting that when it comes, as I mentioned yesterday, when it comes to nuance over here, this is nuance in terms of lifestyle. That in terms of one's personal lifestyle, one's level of lifestyle, Gemara seems to indicate to us that it's kedai to be much more nuanced in that. People don't have to know how I live or what level of lifestyle I enjoy. So Gemara tells an incredible story. I'm the Rabban of Rabbi Avo. So the rabbis came to Rabbi Avo and they said, Hitzbeninu hechan Rabbi Eloi tzafun. Where is Rabbi Eloi hiding? We can't find him. Where is he? So I said, this is incredible. Amr lahen. So ultimately Rabbi Avo said to them, Alatz benara aharonis. He is rejoicing with an Aaronite woman. Acharonis, she is the last one. Iranis means she's awake. She has a lot of energy. Vehin iraso, and she kept him awake all night. Okay. We'll say, not exactly very nuanced, but okay. So the Gemara says as follows. What does that mean? Armila Isha. So some say this is actually a reference to a woman. So we'll say, fascinatingly enough, Rashi explains over here that if it's actually a woman, so what it means is Rabbi Eloi got remarried. His wife died. He got remarried. Who did he remarry? He married Aharonis. Aharonis, he's a woman from a Kohanic family. Aharonis, this is his last wife, you know, the second wife. And ultimately, again, they just got married. They just got married. So he's spending time with her. Some of the issues. So some say literally this refers to a woman. Let's listen to this. Amile Mesechta. Others say it doesn't apply to a woman, but rather it refers to a Mesechta. Says Rashi, what kind of Mesechta? So if you look at Rashi, Mesechta, Aharonis Meseder Kodshim Avodas Aaron, Achronim Simecher. So we'll say if it's Aaronis, it means he's dealing with a Mesechta in Kodshim. Acharon, this means he just finished another Masechta, and he started a new Masechta, the Hischebo, Iranis Amuka Bechamura Umore Lomdel. And Iranis, meaning he kept him awake, and that it's very complicated, involved, and he was therefore again learning all night. This is such an incredible and beautiful idea. Amrei Rabbi Loi, his Peninu Hecha Rabbi Abo. So the rabbi said to Rabbi Loi, where is Rabbi Abo? Amr Lohen Nisyaitz Bemachtir, he consulted with the one who crowns Vehignev Lemipi Boshes. So we'll say, which literally means he received his smicha, he's now called a Rav, and he decided to go to the south, turn from Mipi Boshes. Now Mipi Boshes was the Rebbe of David HaMelech, which is another way of saying he's decided to go south in order to learn more from the rabbis of the south. I don't know if you're showing we'll say an incredible, incredible Gemara. Miyamai, lo nitzchani adam chutz miisha tinok v'tinoke. So Yeshua ben Chanani says, I'm a wise man, and in my entire life, no one ever got the best of me, except in three circumstances. And it was a woman, a child, a little boy, and a little girl. Isha mahi, what's the story of where a woman got the best of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanani? It's an incredible story. Pam achas nisarachti islach sanya achas v'astali pulim. So one time I was staying by a particular host, or by an inn, and the hostess made for me a bowl of lentils. So they were very good. The first day I ate them, I didn't leave anything over. Third day, I ate the bowl of lentils, I didn't leave anything over. The third day, she put too much salt into the lentils. When I tasted the lentils, I went ahead and I pushed the bowl aside. It was too salty. Amrli Rebbe, mipnei ma'in chasoid. So my hostess said to me, Rebbe, why aren't you eating the lentils today? Amarti lo kivar sa'adati mi ba'od yom. What do you tell her? I had a big lunch. Amrli havel l'chalim limshok yodecha min hapas. If that's the case, I see that you washed and you're eating bread. So if you had a whole lunch meal, so why exactly are you eating bread? Amarti li Rebbe, shema lo hinachta pe'a barishonim. So Rebbe, perhaps the reason you're not eating is in order to do tshuva for the fact that you didn't leave anything over on your plate in the previous days. After Rov Elokach, Amru Chachamim, a Mesharim Peir Be'elfis of a Mesharim Peir Be'kairo. So this is actually very interesting. The Gemara says that it used to be that the halacha is that when you were eating, you were supposed to leave something over on your plate. Why? Apparently, the leftovers on the plate is what the shamus used to get, what the attendant, what the waiter would get. So at the strapper derech eres, so she was giving him mussar. He cleaned his plate, right? He finished off everything on the first 2 days. She purposely made the food a bit too salty on the third day. But again, I'm going to say it's an incredible idea. You see, she realized that it wouldn't be appropriate for her to go ahead and give Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya Musr. So instead, what she did was she made the food a little bit too salty, was able to engage him in conversation. So he said, this woman got the best of me. Tinokes mahi, what's the case of the little girl who got the best of me? Pamachas hayisi mahalich baderach bahisa derech overes basada. One time I was walking on the road and there was a shortcut through a field. Vahisi mahalich ba, I took the shortcut through the field. Amrali tinokes achas rebi, lo sadehizo. So a little girl saw me taking the shortcut across the field. She said, Rebbe, isn't this someone's field? How are you allowed to take the shortcut? Amarti la, lo derech kivushahi. I said right after, no. This is a field that's used by the rabbin. It's true. Kivusha literally means captured. Right? Meaning, it's true, it goes through someone's field, but it's established as a public cut-through. Amrali, listim kamoscha kafshuha. So she said back to me, she said, yeah, because robbers like you made it into a public thoroughfare. Whereas, how does private property become a public thoroughfare? At some point in time, people start taking liberties, and enough people do it for enough amount of time, it becomes part of the rabbin. So she said, this little girl said to her, Rabbi Chananya says, yeah, it's true, it's a shortcut, but it's a shortcut because of people like you who took liberties with personal property. We'll say, watch this story. Tino Kamahi, what's the case, little boy? This is, all of Shas is worth it for a story like this. Pam achas heisi mehalich baderech. One time I was walking on the road. Vareisi tinok yoshev al parshas drachem. I saw a little boy standing by the crossroads. Va'amaritu, I said to the little boy, be'ezo derech nelich. Tell me, I want to get to the city. Which path should I take? Amrali, zu kitzara va'aruka, v'zu aruka v'kitzara. So the boy said to me, well, path A, This path is short but long. This path is long but short. So Rabbi Shlomo Chanania said, I just assumed that the boy was a little bit confused. V'halachti b'kitzara v'aruka. I took what he called the short path, which is long. So I took the short path, which is long. Kevin shigati le'ir. So I got to the city. Matzasi shemakifin oso gagos ganos upardesin. I saw that when I got to the end of the road, although I was right by the city, I couldn't access the city. Why? Because that road ended in gardens and orchards, which I could not walk across. Chazarti la'achorai. I came back to the crossroads. Amarti lo bni. I said to my son, Halo amarti li kitzara. You told me this was the shortest path, but I couldn't access the city. Amrali, the little boy said, Velo amarti lecha aruka. Remember, Rebbe, I told you that it's kitzara v'aruka. It's the shortest path to the city, but it's really the longest path. It'll get you to the close to the city, but you won't be able to enter. So you'll have to come back out and go around. Nachshakti al roshav. I kissed him on his head. Va'amarti lo ashrechem Yisrael. Shekulchem chachamim gidolim atem migidolchem va'ad kitanchem. I kissed the little boy on his head and I said, praiseworthy is the Jewish people who have such wise people from their young to their old. So we'll say, this story is really an incredible mussar because, of course, the sitting on the crossroads, the two roads, is an incredible metaphor of life. There are often two roads in front of us. Achas kitzara va'aruka. A lot of times the shortcuts in life, the things that look like shortcuts, in reality, are much longer paths, and ultimately often do not lead to your intended destination. While as the secondary path, the Aruka Ukitsara, is a longer path, but it is the shortest way to get to your destination. Sometimes what looks like a long shortcut is the longest way to get to your destination. Sometimes the thing which is the longest path is in fact the shortest way to get to your destination. But it's such an incredible yisod in life. It's the same thing with effort. There's sometimes, again, we have this mistaken notion that the goal is to accomplish whatever you want to accomplish with the least amount of effort expended. Most things in life that are meaningful require an incredible amount of effort. And when you try to take shortcuts, that only prolongs the process, prolongs the journey. Sometimes it's the derech aruka that is kitzara. Sometimes in life it's the longest path that is in fact the shortest and the most direct way to accomplish your goals. Incredible. Rabbi Yossi Aglivi, Havi Kazel Ba'aruch. Rabbi Yossi Aglivi was traveling on the road. Ashkeche LeBruria. He found Bruria. Now, we'll say this is the famous Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir, the daughter of Rabbi Hanina ben Shajion. So one time Rabbi Yossi Aglivi said, I was walking and I found Bruria. Amar La, Be'ezah Derech Neleich LeLud. I said to her, excuse me, which pathway leads to Lud? Amrali Galili Shota, you foolish Galilean. Galilean, right? You foolish Jew. It's okay. Well, so I was going to see Bria had apparently had like a little bit of like a stark side to her. So she said, you foolish Galilean. Don't you know the halacha that says you shouldn't talk excessively with a woman? You should have made your statement succinct. Which way to Lud? Which way to Lud? That's all. You don't have to start putting in Derech Be'ezel Elud. So I'll say, so this is actually very interesting because this is also, first of all, it's interesting about Atabasicha and Aisha. Careful, we have to be with interactions with the opposite sex. In general, this goes men to women, women to men. Person has to maintain a certain level of course, proper interpersonal conduct, but also a certain level of tznius and a certain level of reservation when it comes to interaction with the opposite sex. But what it also means, we'll say, this goes back to what we said before, that the people from the Galil in general were not precise with their words. So Bria is giving him Musr as a Galilean. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Bria found a particular Talmud Chacham who was learning silently. He was just learning silently. So top of Nundalin, but Shabe, she kicked him. Amalei lo kach kasuv arucha b'chol u'shmura. So I say, doesn't the pasuk say literally again arucha b'chol? It is arranged in everything and guarded. Im arucha beremchas bereish remchas evarim. If your learning is arranged in your 248 limbs, then ultimately again mishtameres. V'imbali mishtameres. So I say, what does that mean? Bria was kicked him because he was learning silently. When you learn, as we're going to see, you're supposed to talk out loud. You're supposed to, it's supposed to be a nigun, right? It's supposed to be a song that accompanies your learning. It's supposed to be out loud. Because ultimately, again, when it's a full body experience, that's when your Torah knowledge is guarded. Tano, Talmud Echad Hayel Rabbi Eliezer, Shaya Shona Belachash. Rabbi Eliezer had a particular Talmud who was a diligent learner, but he always learned silently. After 3 years, he forgot all of his learning. He forgot his learning. So the Gemara says, Tana, Talmud Echad Hayalo Rabbi Eliezer, Shneschai B'Sreifa L'Makom. One time Rabbi Eliezer had a Talmud who had committed some type of Aveira for which he was Chayiv Sreifa. So, but what happened? Amru Hinichalo Adam Gadol Shimesh. But in Beis Din Shalma, they spared him because they said he served a great Talmud Chacham. Of course, the Talmud Chacham they're referencing is Rabbi Eliezer. He was Meshamish Talmud Chachamim. And that Shimush ultimately again saved him. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Shirna Pasach Pumeich Kari Pasach Pumeich Tani. Sharp one. Open your mouth when you learn. Open your mouth when you learn Psukim. Open your mouth when you learn Mishnah. Ki heichi detiskayim bei v'torei chayin. In order that you will retain your Torah knowledge and Torah will live within you. Rabbi says, so you see this again. The Gemara is going to spend some significant time on this theme of learning out loud. That when you learn out loud, by definition, the Torah is niskayim. The Torah is upheld in you. You retain it. Shenemar ki chayim heim. The Paz says ki chayim heim lemotze ehem. Ulechol besaral marpe. Al tikrei lematze ehem. Ella lemotzi. Ella lemotzi ehem. Read it lemotzi as one who articulates words of Torah. So Amar Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Shinina. Both say such a beautiful Gemara. Chatof yachol chatof v'ishtei. Grab and eat. Grab and drink. Da alma, da azlina mine kihilu ledami. Because ultimately, this world that we will live is like a wedding. We will say, do you hear the profundity of this phrase? Grab and eat, grab and drink, for this world is like a wedding. We will say, right? What's, you know, you see this happen. You go to a smorgasbord. So again, you used to go to a smorgasbord. So what happens? So again, you get that little plate, and there's such a fundamental shell. You have to figure out such a small plate, so much food, right? So many options, such a small plate. So the Gemara says the world is like a smorgasbord. The world is like a smorgasbord. Grab and eat, grab and drink. Of course, a reference to mitzvahs. A reference to spiritual opportunities. Grab and eat and grab and drink, for this world is like a wedding. Just like a wedding, I will say, has a duration. It doesn't last forever. It lasts for a very short amount of time. You grab whatever you can, you eat whatever you can, you drink whatever you can. That is this world. Grab your opportunities while you have them. Incredible. Amali Rav Rav Hamnuna. Bni, imesh lecha heitiv lecha, she'in b'shaltan. I will say another incredible Gemara. Rav Hamnuna said, my son, if you have material wealth in this world, enjoy it. She'ein b'shal tanug, for there is no physical pleasure in the grave. Ve'ein lamaves hismamea, and death waits for no one. Vim tomer aniach libni chok, and if you tell me, no, I want to leave my money over for my children, b'shal mi yigid lecha, who will tell you what happens to your wealth when you are in your grave? Bnei adam tomer isya, so the people are like grass of the earth. Halalu notitzin v'halalu novin. Some flourish and some wither. I will say this is an incredible Gemara. Rav Hamnuna, so Rav saying to Rav Hamnuna, his son, if you have stuff in this world, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Too many times people deprive themselves of pleasure, of physical pleasure, material pleasure, because they're saving stuff for their children. So it's just very interesting. So Rav says to Rav Hamnuna, if you have material wealth in this world, enjoy it. Enjoy it. I leave it for my children. The truth is, you never know what happens to wealth that you leave for your children. So therefore, if you're blessed with wealth, if you're blessed with material possessions, enjoy them in this world. I will say, obviously, it doesn't mean that halacha l'maisa, a person shouldn't leave things for their children. Of course, it's good to leave things for your children. I will say, but what an incredible hashkafas hachayim. You see, these are like sister statements. First, the Gemara says, chatof yachol, chatof ushisei, grab and eat, grab a drink, refers ultimately again to spirituality. Grab your spiritual opportunities because this world is filled with them. But at a certain point in time, the caterer comes and clears away the chafing dishes, right? At a certain point in time, the food is taken off the table. Life comes to an end. And when life comes to an end, so do your spiritual opportunities. But on the other hand, to go ahead and recognize that on a material level, enjoy them, your material blessings in this world as well. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you, He gave it to you to enjoy in Olamaz. Somebody's walking on the road and they don't have anyone accompanying them, they should learn Torah. If you have a headache, Yasuk b'Torah. You should learn. Shneamar ki levias chinheim l'rashecha l'rashecha. Chash begrona. If you have a throat ache, sore throat, Yasuk b'Torah. Shneamar va'anakim l'gagarosecha. Torah's like a necklace around your throat. Chash b'meiv. If you have a stomach problem, Yasuk b'Torah. Shneamar. To your stomach. Chashmas mosav. If you have bone aches, aching your bones, Yasuk b'Torah. Shneamar. Quotes over here at the pasuk. So the Gemara says, "V'shikui la'atzmosecha." It is a remedy for your bones. Chash b'kol gufo. If you have any physical ailment, yasok b'torah. Shneamar u'lechol b'sara marpe. Torah here heals everything. So we'll say. So bottom line, if you have a problem, learn. If you have a problem, learn. Which we'll say is such an incredible yisur, because sometimes when we're not feeling well, we often assume that that's davka a patur from learning, right? It's an exemption. And meanwhile, Chazal tell us if you're not feeling well, the antidote pretty much for everything, the vaccine for everything, is Torah. See how the Ribon Shalom is so different than man. How so? Midas basar v'dam adam no sin l'chaveiro sam l'chaveiro l'zeh yafel l'zeh kosher. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino kein. Supposed to listen to this. This is incredible. In general, when man heals, so if a doctor prescribes a medicine, the medicine often will help the ailment, but almost always has or carries the possibility of a side effect. That's the way it works. So you heal one problem, almost always there's something else that happens, something else that is triggered. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino kein, nasan Torah liYisrael sam chaim l'chol gufo shneamar u'l'chol b'saro marpe. But yet it's so different by the Ribono Shel Olam. Excuse me. He gave Torah to Klal Yisrael. It is an elixir of life for the entire body. Shneamar l'chol b'saro marpe. We'll say, this by the Chafetz Chaim comments, he says in Asher Yotzer, when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the rofei kol basar, umafli la'asos. He is the healer of all flesh, umafli la'asos, and does incredible things. Pela. So the Chafetz Chaim says something similar. What does that mean? He quotes this Gemara. He says, the wondrous nature of the Ribono Shel Olam's healing is, when man heals one thing, often it causes a problem or triggers an issue in something else. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could heal in a holistic way. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rofei Kol Basar Umafli. It's a Pella. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could heal everything. I'm Rabbi Abi. Mad Amar, Kinam Kisishim Ebit Necha, Yikon Yachtav Asfal Asecha. So we'll say, what's the meaning of the Pasuk over here that says, literally, it is pleasant when you will keep it or guard it in your belly. Yikon Yachtav Asfal Asecha. It'll literally be arranged together on your lips. Imasai Divrei Torah. Noim, when is Torah pleasant? When you guard it in your stomach. When you guard it like in your kishkas. And when is it guarded in your stomach? When you articulate it. You know, we'll say back to the idea of learning out loud. Rabbi Zira Amar Rehacha, Simcha Liishma Mana Piv, V'davra Be'ito Matov. When is a person truly happy? When ultimately, again, his mouth is busy with words of Torah. When ultimately, again, does a person have simcha with that which comes out of his mouth? When ultimately, you know, we'll say, learns halacha lemaisa. When are you most joyous? When you learn Torah that is in Yanei Diyoma. So that's davar bi'ito matov, Rashi explains, is you learn the halachas of yamtiv on yamtiv. So when you learn things that are in Yanei Diyoma, that gives a person real simcha. Rabbi Yisachar mehacha, ki karav elecha davar ma'od b'ficha ublubavcha la'asoso. The matter is very close to you in your mouth and in your heart to perform it. Imasei karov elecha. When is Torah close to you? Bizman shebeficha ubilbavcha la'asoso. I will say when it is in your mouth, or when you talk it out. Because when you talk it out, it'll become embedded in your heart. And when it becomes embedded in your heart, you will act on those precepts of Torah. Rava Amar Mehacha, Tavas Libon Asatala Va'aresha Sefasa Ba'amanata Sela. Imasei Tavas Libon Asatala. When is the desires of a person's heart given to him? Bizman sha'areshe sefasa ba'manata sela. When ultimately, again, we'll say, again, he articulates it with his lips. Rabbi, so we'll say, all the Gemara highlighting the same theme over and over, the power and profundity of going ahead and articulating or learning your Torah out loud. Rava Rami Ksiv, Tavas Libon Asatalo, Ksiv Aresha Sefasa Bamanata Sela. So we'll say, so Rava contrasts the two psukim. It says, the desires of his heart that the Shbaruch will give him. And then it says, literally again, the utterances of his lips will, or are withheld. Tavas Libon Asatalo, so the Gemara says, Zacha, Tavas Libon Asatalo. If a person is worthy, the Shbaruch will give him the desires of his heart. Lo Zacha, if he's not worthy, Va'aresha Sefasa Bamanata Sela. Tanar Debe Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kol Makom Shnemar Netzach Sela Va'ed, Ein Lo Hefsek Olamos. Anytime that you see the word Netzach, Sela, and Va'ed, that means for all eternity without interruption. Netzach Tichsev Kiloli Olam Arev Avalol Netzach Ektsof. So we'll say, Kosh Baruch says, I'll never be eternally angry at you. Sela Tichsev Kasher Shamanu Kein Ra'inu Be'er Hashem Tzvakos Be'ir Elokinu Elokim Yechonene Ad Olam Sela. So we'll say, ultimately, again, a reference to Yerushalayim being the eternal city of Am Yisrael. Va'ed Tichsev Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Va'ed. Beautiful. Amar Belazer, my Tichsev. We'll say, what does it mean ultimately again that Torah is like a necklace around the throat? It may seem adam atzmo ka'anakzeh, if a person makes himself like a necklace, meaning what? Sheraf ala tzavar, it hangs loosely on the neck. Vinira ve'inonira, and ultimately again, sometimes it's seen, sometimes it's not. Tamudum is kaim biyado. Then ultimately again, he will retain his learning. Ve'im lav in tamudum is kaim biyado. But if not, he will not retain his learning. We'll say now, what does that mean? So the looseness around the neck, we'll say, means an ability to get along with people. Rashi points out, looseness, it's not tight, it's not like a choker. A looseness around the neck, the ability to get along with all kinds of people. And nira ve'inonira, we'll say, means humility. Humility, that a person does not need to be center stage, right? A person doesn't go ahead and need to be nervous. Rashi also points out that what it means is as follows. The only way to become a Talmud Chacham is if you're not seen often. What does that mean? You sit down in the base medrash. Only if a person truly applies himself to his learning. We'll say this is, you know, we'll say, if you think about it, one of the reasons why a lot of times we have difficulty in gaining traction in our learning is because we're so distracted, right? The truth is, we're almost always distracted, right? Again, you could even see, like, it's 5:45 in the morning, and yet we'll say, we're already checking emails, already with text messages, already this, already that. And the truth is, it's not because we're that important that we're needed at 5:45 in the morning. It's just because we're just distracted. We have very short attention spans. But that comes at a price. That comes at a price. I could be a much greater Talmud Chacham if I learned to discipline myself a little bit more. In other words, if I took an hour out of the day when I'm learning, I just don't look at me. This is not a good phone issue, but I don't look at my phone, I don't get distracted, then Lamaisa, I could actually make something of myself. So the Talmud Chacham was like a necklace, which means he's not in and out of the base medrash the whole day. He sits down. He sits down, so he goes home when he has to go home. But Lamaisa, he's not seen at ceremony. He's in the base medrash. He's focused, he's doing what he has to do, he's not getting distracted. That's how you grow in Torah. So Aram Rav Azmai Dixiv, L'chayiv Karuga Sabosem, his cheeks are like the bed of spices. Aruga Sabosem means like the bed of spices. It makes him Adam Atzmo Karuga Zu. Shakol Dashma, we'll say a person makes himself like this bed of spices that everybody walks all over. Ukvusham. Zeh shakom spasmim, so the Gemara says, so the Gemara, vikukivusham, zeh shakom spasmim bo, tamudim is kayim biyada. So we'll say two things. Person allows himself to ultimately, again, be like a bed of spices, which means he's humble. And we'll say, now, it doesn't mean you're supposed to let people walk all over you. That's not good. But there's your humility. What it means to let people walk all over you, so that sometimes there are people who respond to every single slight, whether it is real or perceived. That's not the way to live. Sometimes you just have to just let it go. Just let it go. It's not worth it. So a person who sometimes allows someone to step on him and say, you know what? It's all right. I'm not responding to that. Or Rabbi will say, and the bed of spices, just like the bed of spices gives off a fragrant aroma, a person teaches their Torah, shares their Torah. So a person who is humble and shares what they learned, tamudum is kain biyado. Such a person will retain his learning. Ve'im lav, ein tamudum is kain biyado. Beautiful. V'amr belozer, my damar luchos eben. What does it mean when I said that the tablets were made of stone? Im adam esim atzmo es lechayiv ke'even zu she'enon nimchis tamudom es kaim biyada. If a person makes himself literally like his cheeks made of stone, that literally, again, do not go ahead and erode in any way. Tamudum is kind of, they're supposed to say it's the same idea. Stone doesn't erode when people walk on it. So same idea, if a person is humble, doesn't respond to every single slight, whether it's real or perceived, that level of humility creates a greatness in Torah. What does it mean ultimately? Going to both say that for, by the luchos, that the writing was inscribed on the tablets. It means, had the first tablets not been broken, Torah, Klal Yisrael will never forget Torah. So we'll say charos means engraved. Engraving is a type of writing that does not go away. So had the first luchos not been broken, ultimately, again, Torah would never be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar in kol umo v'umo sholat despo. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, no other nation would have power over us. Shneamar charos, al tikri charos el cherus. Don't read it as charos engraved, but rather read it cherus, free. We'll say again, this is in Chumash Devarim, when the Torah goes through all the different places that we went through. That we went through in the Midbar. So what does it mean when it says Midbar Matana? It may seem Adam Atzmo ki Midbar Zeh Shakol Dashinbo. If a person goes and makes himself like a desert, an area that everybody walks upon, so what happens? Tamudum is kain biyado. Ultimately, again, his Torah will be makuyum, will be sustained. We'll retain it. And if not, his Torah will not be retained. But so you begin to see, in the eyes of Chazal, the ikar nida for acquiring and retaining Torah, it's amazing, it's humility, which also makes sense. Because what humility does is, it tells me, I have more to learn. I don't know everything. If I'm not humble, if I have no humility, then I know everything. If I know everything, why do I have to pay attention? Why do I have to learn? Humility is the prerequisite, says the Gemara, for greatness in Torah. It's incredible. So the Gemara says, Rava Bere, Rav Yosef, Bar Chama. We'll listen to this story. So Rava, the son of Rav Yosef, Bar Chama, Havile Milsa L'Rav Yosef Bahadei. He had an argument with Rav Yosef. They had negative feelings towards each other. Listen to this. Kimati mali diyom kipuri. Amar ezel va'afai say. So Rabbi said, you know what? It's Erev Yom Kippur. I'm going to go and apologize to Rabbi Yosef. Right? I'm going to make this right. So azel ashkechel shamid to come mazig le kasa. So Rabbi Yosef, excuse me, Rabbi shows up at Rabbi Yosef's house and he sees Rabbi Yosef's servant is mixing Rabbi Yosef a glass of wine. Mixing a glass of wine. So the Gemara says, Rava says to the Shamus, do me a favor, let me mix the glass of wine. I'm going to bring it to Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, so he diluted the wine. Brought to Rav Yosef. We'll say now, Rav Yosef was blind. Rav Yosef was blind. So what happens? Kidatame, when Rav Yosef tasted the wine, Amar Dami Hai Mizga La Mizga De Rava Bered Rav Yosef Barchama. We'll say, so apparently Rava was an expert in wine dilution, right? This was his thing. He was like the vintner, right? He knew this malacha. So Rav Yosef tasted, this tastes like the wine of Rava. So I'm like, Anahu. Rava says, Rav Yosef, it's me. It's me, I'm here to apologize. Let's make amends before Yom Kippur. Amar le, the taste of the akarich ad mefarshes the anikra. So he said, Rav Yosef, fine, but you can't sit down until you explain to me the following pasuk. Mai dichse umi midbar matana, umi matana nachli el, umi nachli el bamos, umi bamos agai. So we'll say, so Rav Yosef is bothered. Why does the Torah tell me all the names of these places when these places no longer exist? Who cares? Who cares where Klal Yisrael camped? What does it matter? It must say that there's a deeper message. So we'll say, watch how beautiful this is. Says Rav, you're right. Here's the message. If a person makes himself like a midbar, he humbles himself. He allows people to trot upon him. Again, not walk all over him, but again, is humble enough to let certain things go. Then Torah is given to him as a matana. The kivash nitn lo b'matana, that's b'midbar matana, nachalo kel, sh'ne'emar umi matana nachli el. And once he has Torah as a matana, the ribono shel olam becomes this person's portion. That's nachli el. The kevash nachalu el. And once he acquired a kadosh baruch hu, ole ligdule becomes great. Shneimar umi nachli el bamos. Bamos Rav Osai is the heights. V'magis libo. But if he becomes arrogant as a result of these new heights he's attained, hakadosh baruch hu mashpilo. The ribono shel pushes him down. Shneimar umi bamos hagai. From bamos, Klal Yisrael went where? Gai Rav Osai is the valley. V'mchozir bo. But if a person does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magbiho. Person lifts him back up. Shenemar Kol Gai Yinase. Every valley can be made ultimately again into a tall mountain. So we'll say, isn't this incredible? So Rava says that this little pasuk gives us the entire essence of life. Mimidbar, person humbles themselves, matana. They will go out and get Torah as a matana. Once you have Torah as a matana, nachliel, you forge a meaningful relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu is your portion. Once you have that, Bamos, you will accomplish great things. But lest you allow your greatness ultimately again to be a source of arrogance, Haggai, Kadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and put you down into the valley. But lest you think that once you're in the valley, there is no returning, quotes a different pasuk, Kol Haggai Yinaseh, every valley could be lifted back up. Incredible. Amar Rafuna, Manda Amar, my Damar will say, what's the meaning of the pasuk? With the Gemara quotes over here from Mishle, Chayascha. Chayascha Yoshua ba talking to Asecha Lani Elokim im Adam asmo im Adam misim asmo ki chayezu shedoreses vaocheles. If a person makes himself like an animal, which again pounces on its prey and eats, viga de amishim misareches vaocheles. Others here will say literally again misareches means makes something soiled or dirty and eats. Talmudim is kind better than I'm saying. This is actually quite beautiful. Rashi says an animal when it gets its prey. Doesn't kill the prey and say, you know what, I'll be back in a second. Let me get some crushed pepper to go, some fresh crushed pepper to put on this. Or let me get a nice glass of wine for this. The animal gets what it needs and it eats. So Rashi points out, a person who lives life in a way where he doesn't require a lot of gashmius to make him happy. That a person, okay, everyone needs some level of materialism, but where a person's happiness is not dependent on too much materialism, such a person, Talmudim is kayim biyado. His Torah is saying, Shavuot makes sense. Because Lamaisa, if again, everyone needs materialism in order to survive, but if I don't have to be too dependent on it, then Lamaisa, what that does is for my happiness, that gives me additional bandwidth for spirituality. Mashenkin, if a person is all consumed by Gashmius, then by definition, there's no bandwidth for anything else. If a person lives like this, where a person, I will say, again, is happier just with simple things. I will say, it doesn't mean you can't have nice things in life. It just means, what's the focus? And more importantly, what is it that you need to make you happy? So I will say, the problem with Gashmius sometimes is not having Gashmius. The problem is when your Gashmius becomes the necessity for your life happiness. A, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Gashmius can make you comfortable and Gashmius could give you enjoyment, but it does not provide happiness. So that's where the problem comes in. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if your happiness comes from your spirituality, then you're in a good place. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes you a Sudish. Now I talk about Vasech Lani Elokim. Literally, he who creates, creator of the fig, will eat its fruit. Why is Torah compared to a fig? Mate in azu, I will say, I'm a days. Mate in azu calls man shadim mashmish ba motzi ba teinim. After the Torah calls man shadim hoge ba motzi ba hentai. This is very beautiful. Figs on a fig tree do not all mature at once. So you have to keep working the tree. And the more you work the tree, every time you work the tree, some more figs come off. So this is so beautiful. Torah, very rarely does a person see success in Torah all at once. But if a person keeps plugging away, a person keeps working, a person keeps steiging, then ultimately, again, every time they work the tree of Torah, they will find some peros. They will find some beautiful fruit that comes off of it. It's so beautiful. I was supposed to say, such an incredible insight into spirituality in general. Generally, no one has like a spiritual windfall. You know, I guess like in business, a person can make a deal that just yields them an incredible amount of money. And that happens, a person can become rich instantaneously. In Ruchnius, there's no real spiritual windfall. Because spirituality is like the fig tree. You never get the entire crop at once. Rather, every time you work, you get a little more, right? Work, get a little more, a few more figs, a few more. And then again, one day you look back and you see all that you have amassed. But the mindset is never that windfall of spirituality. So the Gemara says, Anachmani, Maidachsib, Ayelis, Ahavim, Vayalaschein. What's the meaning of the pasuk over here? The Gemara says in Mishle. So literally, again, Ayala Sobosa is like is a deer, a hind, right? So the Gemara says, what does this mean? Why is it that Torah is compared ultimately to the deer, to the hind? Apparently, the hind, the female deer, has a very narrow womb, and as a result, v'chaviva al bayla, Ba'abola kol sha'a v'sha'a kisha rishona. And therefore, again, her mate enjoys mating with her every time as if it was the first time. So, when a person learns, so ultimately, again, Torah can be as enjoyable as the first time you ever learned a shtickle Torah. I will say, so first of all, it happens to be fascinating, this comparison between the pleasure from intimacy and the pleasure ultimately, again, from Torah. It's really quite incredible. What Chazal tried to teach us is, we both said, that level of satisfaction could be achieved on a spiritual level as well. Physical satisfaction, we all understand, could be achieved. But lamaisa, a sense of spiritual satisfaction, a sense of feeling spiritually sated and spiritually full, could come from true Talmud Torah. It's incredible. The Yalaschein, Shema Laschein Alamda. I mean, literally, again, she confers or she brings up favor, chein. So we'll say, ultimately, those who learn Torah are blessed with a certain level of chein. So the Gemara says, so beautiful. Dadeh yiravucha b'chol eis. Ultimately, we'll say, so dadeh literally means her breasts provide satiation at all time. Lama nimshul divrei Torah kidad. We'll say, why is it that Torah is compared to the dad? Ma dad zeh. Just like Rabbo say, with the dad, with the breast of a mother. So every time that the child wants milk, the milk is there. After Torah calls man shadam hoge by motzi botam. Rabbo say, so beautiful. So to Torah is like nursing. Every single time a person learns Torah, they're able to extract the sustenance, the so to speak, the mother's milk of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's incredible. So the Gemara says, ba'avasa tishke tamid. Ultimately, again, with its love, I'm constantly preoccupied. Kigon Rabbi Eliezer Bebedas. Amro of Rabbi Eliezer, Shahayoshe Ba'osei with Rabbi Shekatachton. So the idea over here is that the Pasuk is comparing the love of Torah to the love that a man has for him. The Rambam does this in Hilchos Deos. That just like a person could totally forget themselves when they are in love, so to a person, if a person is in love with Torah, a person could totally forget themselves as well. So the Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Eliezer, Shayosheva Osik Bashuk Atatl Shal Tzipori. He was learning in the lower marketplace of Tzipori. Visadino, first of the intermediate wide lines, Visadino Muto Bashuk Atatl Shal Tzipori. And he left his cloak in the upper marketplace. So we'll say he was so involved in his Torah that he forgot his coat. And he didn't even realize it. Tanya Am Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar Pam Achas Ba Adam Litlo. Umasas, one time Rabbi Elazar forgot his cloak, and somebody wanted to take the cloak, and he was about to take the cloak. He found that there was a poisonous snake sitting on top of the cloak, guarding it from the Eliezer. Incredible. Tanya Ber Abanan. Ma'i Dechsev Rochve Asanos Tzuchuros Yoshvei. Yoshe Am Midyan, Beholche Al Derech Sichov. So, what's the meaning of this pasuk? We're recording this pasuk from Shoftim. Literally, they ride on white donkeys. Yoshe Am Midin. So, we'll see what this means. Beholche Al Derech Sichov. Says the Gemara, Roch Ve'asonos, those who ride donkeys, El Tamid Chacham Shal Halchem Yil and Medina Medina Lemotora. So, riding on donkeys are first the Tamid Chacham will go from city to city to learn Torah. Tzchoros, that they are white. Sha'osin Osam Kitzaharayim. They will say that Tamidi Chacham, through their learning, are able to clarify things as the brightness of the sun in the midday sky. Yoshev Al Medin, Shedonin Din Emes Lamito. So we'll say Yoshev Al Medin means they go ahead and they adjudicate cases to find the truth in different scenarios. The Holche, Elu Bale Mikra. Holche refers to people who master Chumash. Al Derech, Elu Bale Mishnah. Sicho, Elu Bale Talmud. So we'll say it refers to different forms of Talmidei Chachamim. But also the incredible imagery over here is the Talmidei Chachamim on donkeys, indicating to us that they're going to learn, but they're not just going to learn, they're going to teach. Because we'll see, you see this emphasis on Chazal, learning is incredible, but it's really only Niskayim Biyado if what? You only retain it if you share it with others. Only if you take your Torah, share it with others, somehow better the world with your Torah, that your Torah is meaningful. So the Gemara says, "Amar of Shizim Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Ma'i Dechsev Lo Yachroch Remiyat Tzido." So we'll say, "Lo Yichya V'Lo Yarech Yamim Tzaydi Haramai." So we'll say what it means is as follows. So literally it means Lo Yachroch Remiyat Tzido, that the Ramai, the deceitful hunter, will not get a chance to roast his catch. What does that mean? Lo Yichya V'Lo Yarech Yamim Tzaydi Haramai. It literally means that the hunter who is deceitful will not live and will not survive. So we'll say, in this context, ultimately, Rashi says, Sayyid Raha is actually very interesting, means that Shemarbe Begirso Ve'ilam Machzala, someone who learns a lot but doesn't review it. So we'll say, it calls him a deceitful hunter. So he gathers a lot, but he doesn't review it. So whatever he gathers just simply flies away. Such a person will not get to roast his catch. In other words, will not really get, because he's not going to retain, he won't really get to enjoy his Torah. Rav Sheshes Amar, Sayyid Haramai Yachroch, means, no, it means, I will say, Sayyid Haramai in this context means a smart hunter. A smart hunter will get to go ahead and roast his catch. We'll say this could be compared to a person who hunts birds. Watch this. So we'll say, apparently when you're hunting birds, how do you keep the birds from flying away? You catch them and then you break its wings. Once you break its wings, it can't fly away anymore. So we'll say this is ultimately a metaphor for learning. If you chazer your learning, right? You catch the birds, you break the wings. That's a reference to chazering. That's a reference to reviewing. Now you make it yours, then eino chinami, the catch remains yours. But if not, then what you catch really will immediately fly away. Amar Rabba, Amar Avschor, Amar Arafuna, Ma'itich Siv, Hon Mehev Al Yimat, Vikovitz Yad Yirbe, Im Osa Adam Torah, So Chavilos, Chavilos, Ma'it. If a person makes his Torah bundles and bundles, his Torah will diminish. As we both say, if you learn a lot, but you don't review and you don't retain, ultimately, again, his Torah becomes diminished. Ve'im Lav, Koveitz al yad yirbe. But if you gather a little bit at a time, ultimately, again, you'll be able to hold on to that which you gather. Amar Rabba, Yodi Rabban al Hamilsa, Vavyallah. You know, so Rabbi says, you know, the rabbis know this, but they still don't listen. As we both said, it's like a Yitzhara to learn a lot, not review, even though I know I'm going to have difficulty in retention. Amar Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak, Ana Abidata Vakaimbiyah. So Rabbi Nachman, as I said, you know, I heeded this advice, and Baruch Hashem, as a result of heeding this advice, therefore, I'm able to retain my learning. We'll say an incredible, a good mussar, especially again, if it's ironic, we're learning this in the context of Daf Yomi flying through this daf at breakneck speed. But Lamais, again, you see the mussar, we have to establish. He will say, even if you don't chazer everything, but again, you take a daf like this, you fall down the top of the page, and you say, you know what? This is a good daf to chazer. Some type of chazara is what makes the bird. We catch a bird every single day. But unfortunately, all too often, we just let it fly away. Without chazar, without breaking the wings and making it mine, I can't retain it. So now that we talk about the need for chazara, the Gemara is going to tell us how Torah was taught to Klal Yisrael and show us how chazara was implemented in the learning of Klal Yisrael. How did Moshe Rabbeinu, how was Torah taught to Klal Yisrael? Here we go. Moshe, first step, Moshe learned it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nichnes Aaron v'shanalov. So then Aaron came in. V'shanalov Moshe, Pirko. Moshe, Aaron comes in. Moshe teaches Aaron. Nistalik Aaron v'yashav the small Moshe. Aaron came and he sat to the left of Moshe. Now Rashi points out, why did he go to the left and the right? Because the Gemara says, it's gaiva to go to the right side of your Rebbe. It's gaiva to walk to the right of your Rebbe. In other words, we'll see, it's different if there's two people. But Lamais again, so Aaron came in. So Moshe learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aaron comes in. Moshe teaches it to Aaron. Aaron goes to sit on the left. Nichnesu banav. Aaron's sons came in. V'shanalan Moshe pirkan. Moshe taught Elazar and Itamar. Nistalku banav. Elazar yashav liyamin Moshe. Elazar sat to the left. So ultimately, again, Moshe and Itamar sat to the right. I'm sorry. Elazar sat to the right. Elazar sat to the left. I'm sorry, the small Aaron. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yehuda says, the Olam Aaron, the Yamin Moshe. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no. Aaron never went to the right, to the left, excuse me, but Aaron was automatically seated on the right of Moshe. Okay. So the Gemara says, Chozer Nichnesu Zekanim, Vishana Lehen Moshe Pirkan. Then the Zekanim came in, the elders. Moshe Rabbeinu taught them Torah. Nistalku Zekanim, then the Zekanim went out. Nichnesu Kala'am. Then the entire nation came in. Vishana Lehen Moshe Pirkan. Moshe Rabbeinu taught them Torah. Nimtzu, so therefore it turns out, now remember, Aaron's there the whole time. Nimtzu b'yad Aaron arba, so Aaron chazered four times, whatever Moshe was teaching, he heard it four times. Banav shlosha, Aaron's sons chazered it three times. U'b'yad azakenim shnayim, and the zakenim heard it twice. U'b'yad kava'am echad, and the nation learned it once. Nistalik Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu then left. V'shanal and Aaron Pirko, and then Aaron reviewed the Torah once again with all of Klal Yisrael. Nistalku Aaron, then Aaron left. Shanal and Banav Pirkan, then Elazar and Itamar taught the Klal. Nistalku Banav, then the sons left. Shanal and Zekin and Pirkan, the elders taught Klal Yisrael. Nimtzu Biyad Hakol Arba. So it turns out that everyone ended up learning four times. Right? So even Klal Yisrael ended up chazering four times. Moshe Abenu, Aaron, Aaron's sons, and then the Zekin. And Mikan Amr Rabbi Eliezer, Chayav Adon Moshe Aron Slatamido, Arba Panim. You see from here that a person is obligated to go ahead and teach his students, review with his students the material four times. The Kav Chomer, Uma Aaron Shalom Pi Moshe, Moshe Pi Agvura, Kach Haydom Pi Hedyot, Alachas Kama V'Kama. But say if Aaron reviewed it four times, and ultimately again he learned it from Moshe, Moshe from Kadosh Baruch Hu, then Alachas Kama V'Kama. When you learn it from your Rebbe, you have to review things at least four times. Rabbi Akiva Omer, we'll say this is incredible Gemara, but this will have to stop. Rabbi Akiva Omer, first one of the widest lines, ends of the widest lines. Minayin Shechayiv Adam L'Shalas L'Tamid of Ad Shalom Denu. But say how do you know? So we'll say, so the Gemara says from here you see that a Rebbe has to teach his students the material four times. Rabbi Akiva says, no. How do you know that a Rebbe is obligated to teach his Talmud as many times as it takes to learn the material? Shenamar, Belamda es b'nei Yisrael. Because the Pasuk says, teach it to Klal Yisrael. Because Shmuel doesn't say two times, three times, four times. Teach it until they know it. U'minayin atchei teisidur b'fiyim. How do you know that you have to teach it until it becomes organized in their mouth? Shenamar, Yisima b'fiyim. U'minayin shechayv laharos l'panim. And I want to say, how do we know that when a Rebbe has to review material with his children, he has to do so with a pleasant face? You're both saying, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, Rebbeim, teachers, if they have to chazer something, they get annoyed because they assume that the reason they have to chazer is because the student is not paying attention. No, sometimes people just don't get things on the first time around. So it's not just enough for the Rebbe to go ahead and what? And teach it a couple times, but he has to do so with a pleasant countenance. Shneemar, ve'el ha-mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem. V'ligmaru, kula mimoshe. We'll say, we'll just do one more, mimochami. Why doesn't everybody just go ahead and learn all four times from Moshe? Could they lachlok kavod li Aaron, in order to give proper kavod to Aaron, ubanav, ukavod lezikinim, v'neil Aaron v'nigmar mimoshe, v'la'ailu banav v'ligmaru mi'aron, v'ailu zikana v'lilfo mi'banav, v'lezlu v'ligmino l'kula Yisrael. So we'll say, so I don't understand, so if that's the case, why don't you just let Aaron learn from Moshe, then let Moshe leave. Let Moshe leave and let the rest of learning occur from Aaron and his sons. Kevin the Moshe piagvura gamar mistayim milsa. But say since Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately heard the Torah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a special inyan ultimately again to learn it from Moshe. Amar Mar Rabbi Yehuda Omer liolam Aaron liyamin Moshe. Aaron was always sitting to the right of Moshe. So the Gemara says, "Amar liolam Aaron liyamin Moshe chozer." Kiman azla hadesanya shloshes shem malchem derech harab emtzav gadol biyamino v'katam mismalo leimin Rabbi Yehuda v'ilor Rabbanan. So we'll say ultimately again, it's the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says that Aaron was on the right of Moshe Rabbeinu. So apparently, again, this is based on the following brisa that says if three people are walking on the road, the Rebbe's in the middle, the greatest Talmud is on the right, and the small Talmud is on the left. So Aaron, of course, should have been on the right side of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says, no, afilu teimar Rabbanan mishum tircha de Aaron. No, it's not true. Because the Rebbe says, even if you held that Aaron was the great Talmud, it should have been on the right. Once he was seated on the left, it would have been a tircha to make Aaron get up and go to right. We'll just finish this up, and then we're done. Rabbi Preda, Havile al Tamuda, Tamida da Havitanele Arba Mea Zinya. Both listen to this. Rabbi Preda had a Talmud who he had to review every piece of material 400 times in order for the Talmud to get it. 400. Now the Marsha points out that might be a bit hyperbolic, right? But the idea being you had to teach the Talmud many times. So what happened? Yom Echad Ba'yo L'milso de Mitzvah. So we'll say, well, listen to this. One day Rabbi Preda is in the middle of giving shir. Someone comes and whispers something into his ear that he's needed for some communal matter. Tani Lei, Velo Gamar. So he taught the student again the same 400 times, but the student didn't chap it. Amar Lei, Ha'idna Maishna. So Rabbi Preda said to his Talmud, I don't understand. Every day, 400 times, and you get it. Today, why aren't you chapping? Supposed to listen to this is incredible. Amar Lei, Medei he shaited Amar Lei lemar ika milcha de mitzvah aschoy ledatoi v'chol shaita mina hashta koi mar hashta koi mar. Supposed to listen to this because the Talmud said, Rebbe, as soon as I heard them whisper into your ear that you're going to be called away for a mitzvah matter, I was distracted because I thought that at any moment you're going to leave the shir, you're going to leave the classroom, you're going to leave the base medrash, and you're not going to finish teaching. So because of that, I was distracted. I wasn't able to pay full attention, and therefore, again, I didn't chap it. Amar le havdai teich va'asni leich hadr tani le dalid mea zimni achrini. So let's listen to this. So Rabbi Preda sat down. He taught the Talmud another 400 times. Nafka baskala va'amar le necha lech deles v'lechad dalid mea shani oda detiskues darach v'amad al-nasi. So baskal came out to Rabbi Preda, because of this incredible Mesiras Nefesh, you have a choice. I'll give you another 400 years of your life, corresponding to the 400 times, or you and your entire generation could be guaranteed for Olam Haba. Amar Denisku Anavadari Da Amad Asi. So ultimately, again, I prayed this, said, I choose that my entire generation should get Olam Haba. Amar Lahana Kadosh Baruch Hu Tenu Lo Zu Vizu. Give him both the 400 years of life and Olam Haba. And Olam Haba from his generation. I just want to point out something amazing. You see from here also that the Talmud wasn't able to chap because he felt that his Rebbe wasn't fully present. See, Rabbi said, the key to successful chinuch, and this is not just true for teachers, but it's true for parents, to be present. Our children and our students know when we are not present. I could be sitting at the dinner table, but if I'm on my phone, they know I'm not there. If I'm distracted, they know I'm not there. And when my students know that I'm not fully there, my children know that I'm not fully there, real chinuch becomes impossible. You want to affect change in your talmidim? You want to affect change in your children? Be present. Shulach, what's going to stop over here?
Shalom Aleichem, how are you?